I want to speak to you today on the subject of supernatural leadership. This is a leadership training morning because we're moving into a place that is larger than us. But even for your life, if you're not a member of Antioch International Church, there's a call of God on your life. You're not made to remain the way you are right now, but you're called to do powerful things. There's a timing in God that when such things happen, the doors of faith open. And if you walk through those doors, you'll be changed into a different person. Not only will you be changed, but you'll come into a new place of growth and purpose in partnership with the Lord. That's the way he does things. It is supernatural. All through the scriptures, we have people who were not qualified who suddenly did great and marvelous things. We're going to look today at the life of King David. Well, David as a shepherd boy who became king. So would you please open your Bibles with me to 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 3. 2 Samuel 5, 3 says, "When all the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, the king made a compact with them and at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years until he was 70. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. 40 years in all. Here's one man who fulfilled the call of God and the destiny on his life. Do you know that most people do not fulfill their destiny? You might say, well, God has prophesied over me. I had a prophetic word. I was in such a meeting. Some of the prophetic words are so amazing. I remember, I guess it's 25 years ago, and I was down in Mobile, Alabama at this special conference for leaders and pastors. I've been a pastor for more than 40 years. So it was just kind of in the middle of my ministry. But we were there with so many. We had gone with a group of pastors from Canada at the time, about 20 of us. And I was delayed by an emergency phone call in my hotel room. So I didn't get to the conference center on this specific day until it was late and things were just about to start. All of the guys I were with, they had a section in the front. I ran down to the front just before the meeting started. Every seat was taken. And so I started to go to the back. And there was about 1,000 pastors there. And every row was packed, packed. And I'm a front row kind of person. Not just because of my height. Although that's part of it. But I want to, you know, get under the spout where the glory comes out. I want to get close to the front so that whatever's happening, whatever God's doing, I want to catch it. I want to have that impartation in my life. I'm not interested in coming to church just to pass time and you know, just having a look in. I want God. And so I was looking for the seat closest. Well, every seat in the place was completely taken except in this far corner, there was one chair. I think it must have been for an usher or something, because there wasn't a row there. There was just one chair, and it was right up against the two back walls right in the corner. I felt rejected. I felt all alone. And this was not me. I thought, my goodness, what a day I'm having. And I went and I sat there, and it was so far to the front. And I remember it was Ern Baxter, a powerful preacher of the gospel. He was preaching. And suddenly he started to prophesy. And he says, "I have a word for that man in the far back corner." And he spoke a word of the call of God over my life. Now you may have had, I've had 100 prophecies like that in my life. And you may have had some over your life. But let me tell you something. Just because there's a prophecy over your life doesn't mean it will happen. Now, if there's a prophecy that Jesus will come back, it's going to happen. If there's a prophecy that Jesus will reign, that Israel will come back into the purposes of God, those things are non-negotiable. They will happen. But when it comes to your life, there are conditions. Prophecy for you shows you what God's intention is for your life. And it shows you what will happen if you walk in faith before the Lord and press from the inside of the envelope. And you're hungry after God. And it's an amazing accomplishment if somebody with their life can fulfill the call of God so that none of it drops to the ground. The thing is that none of you know all of the call of God on your life. The Lord doesn't usually show us everything at the beginning. He gives it to us in installments. So he tells us. He leads us. I mentioned the other day that my good friend Sid Roth, we were at his 35th anniversary of his call, being called to the ministry. And he asked me, along with a couple of other pastors, a few others, to come and lay hands on him and pray for him that day. And I remember him getting up and saying, I can't say that I have been led by God. I have been pushed by God. That's what he said. And I said, I understand what he's talking about. Because God brings you to a place and he takes you on this journey. If you're hungry for him, if you're seeking him, he does it. And he brings you to a place where if you're going to be his disciple, you have no choice but to move on ahead. Even though he gives you a choice, you know you really don't have one. Not if you really want God. And so today, as I'm speaking to you, I want you to open your heart and say, Lord, here I am. What are you going to do with my life? The purpose of God for me. Here I am. See, you were fearfully and wonderfully made in your mother's womb. You're not a copy. You may have some borrowed DNA, but you are not a copy. You are an absolute original. And when God made you, he made you to partner with him, to walk with him in the secret place, and then to do great and mighty things in the public place. He called you for that. And you say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, that's his business. He gives you what's necessary to go forth and to be everything he's called you to be, one step at a time. Amen. So we look at this man, David. He starts off, we know, as a shepherd boy. And he ends up being the king of Israel, the chosen people of God, over the city of Jerusalem, where God has written his name, and one day says, I will come and put my throne in that place and rule the world. In fact, he will rule the universe from Jerusalem. And he puts David as the type of king that he is going to be like. This shepherd boy. Let's look at his journey. It starts off in 1 Samuel chapter 16. This is when a new king of Israel is sought after. There was only one king so far, King Saul. But he had rebelled against the Lord. And the Lord said, I need a king, another king, one who has my heart. And he told Samuel, who was both prophet and priest, go down to the house of Jesse. Because one of his sons will be the next king of Israel. Go and anoint him. And so we read there in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. It says, but the Lord said to Samuel, let me start in verse 6. That might help. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab, the oldest son, and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height. Don't you really like that part? It's got nothing to do with how tall you are as to whether or not God can anoint you for a powerful place of leadership. And he says, Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him, rejected Eliab. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. And he goes through them all. And finally, in verse 11, he asked, are these all the sons you have? And he says, well, they're still the youngest. But he's tending the sheep. Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. Do you hear this? Then the Lord said, well, let's go to verse 12. So he sent and brought him in. And David was ruddy with a fine appearance and handsome features. Kind of like some of you. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. He is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. So this is an amazing story, and this is where it begins. What was the Lord looking for? What is the first thing required for God to promote you into toward leadership? It is God looks at the heart. He wants to see that you have a good heart, because he doesn't look at the outward appearance. You may pump iron. You may work for an hour on your makeup every morning. You may dress in $1,000 every day. And you may work in New York City in some high rise and be an executive over hundreds of people. But God's not impressed. He wants to know what's in your heart. And he found a man named David. Now, David is about to be promoted among his peers. This is the first place where you will be promoted if God is working with you and you're working with God. You may be in a place where the people don't know you. You may be in a class or a church or a place where you work and they don't know you. They may even reject you. But God is about to promote you among your peers. How will it happen? Well, it isn't just kind of, you know, pick and choose. Let me see, who am I going to bless today? Zabam, you're blessed. God doesn't just do that. He actually looks to see what's in your heart. See, David had just been ignored by his family. He had been rejected by his dad. Samuel said, have all your sons line up. One of them will be the king. And he said, okay, sons, line up. Olympiads. But he didn't even pay any attention to David. No, David, you go out into the field, look after those sheep, and be a good lad. So he was rejected by his own dad. He could have been out in the field eating worms, having the mully grubs and sulking and in pity because he's been rejected. But that's not what David was like. He was so accomplished. First of all, we know that even when he was there in the fields, he wasn't just sitting around looking after the sheep. He was writing poems, revelations, songs unto the Lord, and even prophetic words that would come to pass thousands of years later. This was a man who walked with God even when he was a shepherd boy. He's just a teen, and he's already got this file, this portfolio of experiences with God. He's a very spiritual young man. Secondly, he's absolutely courageous. He's looking after the sheep, and all of a sudden a lion comes into the field. The lion is bloodthirsty. He's come for dinner. David didn't have his rifle with him. He took a club and went and beat the lion to death. Now, this is what you call courage. And it wasn't just an accident. It wasn't just an adrenaline moment. Because it also happened with a bear. When he was just a teen, he killed a bear with his bare hands to defend the sheep. So you know he's responsible. You know he's a writer. He's courageous. And then we know, because he went and killed Goliath, that he was real handy with a sling. Just a little while ago, 2 weeks ago, we were in Israel. And we went to the place where David killed the 9-foot-tall giant Goliath, the Valley of Elah. And there in the middle of the valley, there's a brook, a stream. It's dried up now, but you can see it. So we went down into the stream, and I got a pile of nice, smooth stones. You know, not little tiny pebbles like marbles. We're talking about something almost the size of a baseball. You know, you get whacked in the head with that, it sends you into next Tuesday. And so I went there and gathered a handful of these and brought one home for my grandchildren. Say, these may come in handy. They have a special anointing on them. So David was training all this time while he was a teen. He was preparing himself. So I ask you, if you're just letting the days drift by, you might say, well, you know what? I'm not young anymore. I've wasted my youth. And here I am, middle age or beyond. And I don't know that I can do anything that's really powerful in God anymore. I missed it. Not so. Do you know that most heroes in the Bible are senior citizens? Amen. It's true. And they only started after midlife. Do you know Derek Prince, my grandpa, he never went on the radio until he was 60 years of age. And he wrote his first book when he was 50. So it's time, wherever you are, don't let the days slip by without you stirring up everything within you to follow the Lord and to be excellent with what He gives you, to be trained. Then you'll get promoted among your peers like David was among his brothers. You'll stand out. The second thing that we see about David is that he's going to be promoted in the community. Leadership, let me tell you about leadership. There's one criteria that every leader has to have: people following. If nobody's following, you're not a leader. Hello, you might call yourself a leader. Other people might sing your praises. You might even have a degree of some sort that you hang up on the wall. But if nobody's following, you're not leading. And this is a thing of God, because where does promotion come from? Promotion comes from the Lord. And so here's David about to be promoted in the community. Now, you might get promoted where you work or at church or in the community or in the nation. But it'll happen because at a specific time, you do something extraordinary. What was it that David did? Well, he killed Goliath. That was pretty extraordinary. Come and take a look here at 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 45. It says, David said to the Philistine, that's Goliath, "You come against me with a sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me. I will strike you down and cut off your head." I like this teen. "Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer, you can just see this giant edging forward to attack him, David ran. Say ran. David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. And reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. And then he went up two hands, pulled out his sword and chopped off his head and took it to King Saul as a present. This is just a teen. See, he wasn't afraid. Everybody else was afraid. But the time had come. He had killed a lion. He had killed a bear. He was fearless. Some people say that young people are fearless because they don't know better. When they get older, they have a few close calls. They'll pull back a little bit. But I love that about young people, especially young people who are in God. And they're absolutely fearless. If you are going to do something extraordinary that will cause you to be promoted in the community, it will be something beyond you. Because if it was normal, everybody would be doing it. It will be something that's big. It's like God is going to come to you and say, give me your shoes. You say, what? Yeah, give me your shoes. You say, all right. You take off your size 8s, 9s or 10s, and he gives you size 18. Lord, these aren't shoes, they're canoes. I look like a clown. I can't wear shoes like this. This is too big for me. The Lord just says, it's by faith. You'll grow into them. Then you're going to be walking around just this high with huge feet. See, the Lord will, if you're faithful in having an extraordinary heart that's totally given to him, and you train and you serve and you give yourself, then you'll get promoted among your peers. But there's a time coming when you're going to get promoted in the community. It might be the church community, or the town you live in, or the city, or the nation. But that will come because you do something extraordinary. And God will put it in your heart. He'll tell you. Others may mock you. They'll say, who do you think you are? Kind of like Peter walking on water. You know, he gets out of the boat. Says, Lord, if that's you, let me walk to you on the water. And you can just see the other disciples in the boat. Oh, God. What an idiot you put us with. Why did you make that fool part of the team? He's taken us down. He's given us a bad reputation. He's a crazy guy. And the Lord says, come. That's all he needed. I've been on the Sea of Galilee in a wooden boat now at least a dozen times. And every time the people look at me and they say, well, Peter, let's see you do it. And I say, if Jesus comes walking on the water and he says, come, I'm out of the boat. But if I don't see Jesus, I'm staying in the boat. Well, you can just see him. He climbs over the edge of the boat. He's standing. Puts his other leg. He's standing. And then he just looks at the guys and smiles. And you know what they're thinking? I wish I had done that. Don't be a person who all of your life says, I wish I had done that. Your life is going by like that. Why not give it all for the glory of God and for the purposes of God? Why not put it all forward? Now, you want to hear from God. You want to hear him say, come. You want to hear him say, David, go and get those stones and go after that giant Goliath. 9 foot tall. You couldn't lift his armor. And he wastes no time. Now, when Goliath sees him, he begins to mock. He is angry because who have you brought to fight me? A boy with sticks and stones? What am I that you send a dog to come and fight me? Even his own brothers mocked him. He was all alone in this. The king patronized him because he needed somebody to go out there and die for the cause. He didn't have confidence in David. But David had confidence in the Lord God Almighty. You know, when you step out to do something great, when God tells you to do it, and it's way bigger than you, you have to hear from God. And when you hear from God, you step into that in faith. And you will have something that all the other people around you don't have. I hope they're good friends. You will need it. But when he had finished, you know the story, in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 6, when the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing, with joyful songs and with tambourines and lutes. And they danced and sang, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands." So he gained a place in the whole nation. He was promoted by God in the community. So first he's promoted among his peers, because he has an extraordinary heart, great character. Secondly, he's promoted in the community because he does something that's extraordinary. He kills the threat. Some of you are called to build an orphanage. Others to rescue those who are in sex trafficking. Some of you are called to raise funds for the purposes of God, maybe in the millions, to send missionaries around the world. Who knows what the call of God is? See, God has planned just for you what you're to do, and you'll never even know unless you take these steps and let the Lord promote you and change you and challenge you. That's not where it stops. David then becomes king of Judah. By this time, there was civil war in Israel. And Israel was divided into two nations, Israel and Judah. And we read in 1 Samuel 24, in verse 1. David is about to be promoted to be king of Judah. Let me find this for you. 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 4. 2 Samuel 2 and verse 4. And it says, when David, then the men of Judah came to Hebron, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And when David was told that it was the men of Jabesh-Gilead who had buried Saul, he sent messengers to the men. And of course, he honored them. But I'm going to tell you that story because that's connected here. David is now promoted to be king of one of these. It's like the North and the South fighting in the Civil War of the USA. It's like he was president over one of them. And he was brought to that place because promotion comes from the Lord. I looked through the scriptures and I said, what was it about David that gave him this next promotion in God? This promotion to leadership. And you know what I found? Something that I would never have thought was the condition. David honored other workers of the faith. He honored King Saul, his enemy. Let me tell you the story. Well, you see, David, after he killed Goliath, everybody was singing his praises and saying, David has killed his tens of thousands. And Saul, the king, became jealous. More than once, he threw a spear at David to kill him. And David ran for his life into the wilderness. And the king gathered 3,000 soldiers to go and hunt David down and kill him. When you come with us to Israel, we'll show you this place. It's in the Wadi of David, which is En Gedi, in the wilderness. there's these caves and a stream of water that comes out of the springs of the ground. And David goes into a cave there. He's running for his life, and he hides. And suddenly, the troops of Israel come marching along, and they stop where all this water is. And King Saul goes into the cave with a few of his generals to get some rest. David and his men are in there, just a few of them, and they go way back into the back of the cave. And then his men look at David and say, David, God has answered your prayer. King Saul is now being handed over to you. Let's go and kill him. And David says, we will not touch the Lord's anointed. His enemy, you know, I don't appreciate every TV evangelist. In fact, I usually don't care for too many at all. But specifically, you'll never hear me criticize a single one of them. They're different, but they're God's. And I won't touch them. I'll bless them, work with them, honor them, but I will not tear them down. There's too much tearing down in the body of Christ of one group against another. If their motives aren't right, that's God's to judge. So I will just bless them, even though they do things with a style that is not my style and I couldn't agree with it. Still, I'm going to bless them. And David did the same with King Saul, who was out to kill him. And then they snuck up while Saul was sleeping, and David cuts a bit of his robe off of his garment. And a little bit later, Saul and the men head out. When they get to the other hill some distance away, David comes out of the cave and he says, my father! Saul turns around. And David says, you were in the cave. I could have killed you. See, I have this piece of your robe. And sure enough, he does. He says, I'm not out as your enemy. And from that moment, King Saul stopped the hunt and went back home. But that's not where it ended. Because David honored King Saul and his household right up to the end of his life. Shortly after this, King Saul is in an all-out war with the Philistines. And he and his three sons are on the battlefield. And they're losing. Israel is losing the war. And Jonathan and his other two sons both get hit with arrows and die. And Saul realizes he's losing this battle. And suddenly, he gets an arrow, a lethal wound comes to him. And he's going to die. And he looks to his armor bearer and he grabs him by the arm. He says, run me through with your sword. Kill me. Because if the Philistines get me, they'll abuse me, torture me, and then kill me. And the armor bearer says, I cannot do that. I will not kill you. So Saul takes his sword, turns it upside down, puts it in the rocks, and falls on it and commits suicide. When the armor bearer sees this, he does the same. He falls on his sword. And the Bible says, and that day, Saul and his three sons and his armor bearer all died in the battle. When the Philistines came through after the battle to take the equipment off of these soldiers, they found Saul and his sons. They cut off their heads and put their heads on a pole in their own ungodly temples. And then they took the body of Jonathan and Saul and hung them on the walls, on the gates of Bethshan. We'll take you there when you come to us. Come with us to Israel. That night, some Israelites from across the Jordan snuck over and went to Bethshan and took down the body of Jonathan and the body of Saul and took them back and buried them. When David heard about this, some of his people said, Let's rejoice, David. Now you can be king of all of Israel. David says, there'll be no rejoicing. For the anointed of the Lord has been slain. And he honored him. And he gave a great amount of wealth to the men who went and got his body down. And then they called for 7 days of fasting and mourning, which David initiated. See, now I wonder if there's anybody in the body of Christ that you really don't like. I wonder if there's anybody in the family of God that you do not appreciate. Please, please, whatever you do, do not tear down a minister of the gospel that you don't agree with. Don't tear down another church. Whether it's Morningstar or Elevation, whatever it is, whoever they are, if they call upon the name of the Lord, then they're with us and not against us. Let's encourage them, rejoice with them, but for sure, not mock them. Don't let your tongue be found doing that. And if you bring anything like that to me, it won't go very far. May that be one of the hallmarks of this church, that we will not gossip. We will not tear down, but only honor the people of God. Even those in government. Uh-oh. Now I'm meddling, aren't I? Now, you might not agree with the President of the United States or his policies, but you better honor him. Amen. Pray for him, yes, so that you know he's fully saved. But pray God's blessings over him until he does things in the way he should do them. Amen. Now, you might have to criticize policy. You do. But you don't have to dishonor the office. So if you will honor the people that God has put in place, maybe not agree with, but honor, then God will honor you. This is so big. And when you have a little uncomfortable experience with another member in the body of Christ, actually it happens in other churches, not here. But if there's any strife between two people in the church, promote the other one. God will see to it that you get promoted when you're supposed to. Even if the pastor's blind, God will see to it. Like Samuel said, we will not sit down until that boy comes in here from the field. So you honor and bless and say nice things, and God will honor you and promote you. And lastly, we've talked about promotion among your peers, promotion in the community, promotion to leadership. Now I want to talk to you finally about promotion to your destiny, so that you reach what you were made to reach, so that your life completes the journey that God has assigned for you. For David, it says, and David eventually, we read it at the beginning, was ordained as king of all of Israel. He was crowned. And he ruled over Israel for 40 years. He did something extraordinary to be promoted among his peers. He had an extraordinary character and discipline. He had to do something extraordinary to be promoted in the community. He did. He killed Goliath. There's a giant you might have to kill. And he did something extraordinary to be promoted into leadership over Judah. He just honored those who were out to kill him because they were those who were chosen by the Lord. He honored. He honored his enemies. Lastly, he's going to be promoted to receive all of his destiny. What extraordinary thing does he have to do? He has to have extraordinary perseverance. See, you might be on this journey for a long time, and every third day you want to quit. That's normal. That's the way it is. And many people lose vision, so they cast off restraint, even get into sin, because they feel, what's the sense? I'm not getting there. Nothing really important is happening in my life. I might as well just throw it all away. It happens. But let me tell you, if you're going to reach your destiny, you've got to go over that river and over that mountain. You have to have extraordinary perseverance. See, after King Saul died and his three sons died, you would think with everybody in the streets praising David for killing Goliath, that David, the next day, would have been made king of all of Israel. Do you know how long it took before David became king and fulfilled his destiny? Another 7.5 years. Just imagine, in the sixth year, David says, I know, when I was young, Samuel did prophesy over me. But look, Saul's been dead for 6 years, and I am not the king. This is not working. See, Saul had another son. His name was Ishbosheth. And he became king of Israel. Ishbosheth. And Ishbosheth ruled just for 2.5 years, because there was other things that happened in that 7.5 year period. Finally, his own men said, Israel is fighting against Judah, and the people of David in Judah, they're winning all the battles. Israel's got the losing team under King Ishbosheth. So while he was sleeping, his own men killed him. Then they went and reported to David. Guess what we have done for you? We killed the king. David said, take these men and kill them. They touched the Lord's anointed. He was still honoring the house of Saul. And it was after that that David became king of all of Israel. Now, promotion comes from the Lord. But that doesn't mean you don't have anything to do with it. You've got a lot of hard work and discipline. And then the Lord's going to do an operation on your heart so that you'll honor and bless those who you might want to criticize. And God will promote you if you have an extraordinary heart, if you have extraordinary honor, if you're willing to do extraordinary things, and if you'll have extraordinary perseverance. And that's your leadership training lesson for today. This is true. God is not a respecter of persons. Now, if you come from a family of Christians, especially ministers and those who really served with extinction, with distinction. If you've come from a family like that, you've got a head start. There's a blessing that's come down upon you. Don't waste it. If your mommy and daddy are real servants of God, don't waste the blessing that you just received. But some of you are first generation Christians. Oh my goodness. If you're a first generation Christian, you have to go upstream with mud and bullets flying in your face. You got every demon in the country wanting to tear you down because they have a foothold in your ancestry and they want to ruin you. You've got such a fight. You might not be able to look to your ancestry for any kind of spiritual strength. There may be witchcraft there. But you can come to a church like this and get adopted. And you can get the DNA, the spiritual DNA, an impartation. You can get an inheritance through adoption. If you connect with those who have received such a blessing. And if you push in, God will make up for all the years of loss. In fact, sometimes it's somebody who had such a bad beginning that has such an amazing finish. Amen. And that's the most important mile, isn't it? It's the last one. So I want to pray for you now. I want to pray that you will have a powerful experience in these days with the Lord God Almighty. That you will feel His call on your life, that you have been distinguished for excellent service, and He wants to promote you on your journey. Would you stand with me right now? Let's rededicate our lives to the Lord. Would you open your hands like this? And what we want to do now is just give our lives to the Lord so that He can lead and direct and accomplish His work in us. If He can take a shepherd boy who's willing to go the mile, He can take you too. So would you pray this prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for saving me. Today I give you my whole life. Forgive me of my sins and wash me afresh with the blood of Jesus. I give my future to you. All of my days, I ask you to lead me, to open the heavens above me, that your blessings and favor may come on my life and on my family. Open the doors before me so that I might walk in faith and accomplish what you have for me to do. I receive your blessing. And I look forward to the surprises and the adventures of the Lord in my life. I receive it now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give Him praise. Hallelujah.